The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Stephen A., I'd like to start with you, though. Do you believe the Panthers made a mistake not pursuing Lamar?
It's a tough question to answer, but I'll try by saying I don't think so. I think that in the case of the Carolina Panthers, believe it or not, with two first-round picks, along with two second-round picks and a player, I would make an argument it's going to take more than that to get Lamar Jackson to prime out of Baltimore's hands right now. That's number one. Number two, the durability question in regards to Lamar Jackson comes into play. But the bigger thing that I don't think people have brought up enough, Lewis Riddick, is that Lamar Jackson doesn't necessarily have an agent per se, as far as we know. He hasn't gone the conventional route. And I think when we see a lot of teams we've been talking about, we saw Chris Canty on Get Up the other day talking about collusion, and I brought up the fact that when you receive the non-exclusive tag, that's built in collusion because essentially teams are going to be very, very reluctant to make an offer to a player where it can be matched by the team that has his rights. And so some would argue that's built in collusion, but I take it a step further by bringing up the fact that you've got agents out there who don't want this deal to happen and who knows how much power they wield. Because if Lamar Jackson is able to get top dollar, top guaranteed dollars without having an agent, Lewis Riddick, you know this, what's that going to provoke other players in the future to do? If you see a player that ends up pulling off a mega deal that's a big time deal, devoid of conventional representation, you know a lot of players are going to follow suit. You know how this works. He pulls that off, a lot of dudes going to make the same decisions and say, well, I don't need my agent either. Agents are aware of this. They're very reluctant to let that happen. Who knows what kind of influence that they wield. Last but not least, I'll say this. Here's another reason why I'm inclined not to believe the Panthers made a mistake. Last time they had the number one overall pick was in 2011. It's when they drafted Cam Newton. And we understand how big the quarterback position is. And they were in no position to get the quarterback. Everything else falls apart when your quarterback stinks. We've seen that with the New York Jets, with Zach Wilson, to a lesser degree with Matt White, but definitely with Zach Wilson. The Jets had everything else going for them. They didn't have the quarterback spot. So Carolina's been around long enough. They know what this is required. They know what it's going to require. They know what it's going to take, whether it's Bryce Young, whether it's C.J. Stroud, or whomever. The fact of the matter is they're saying everything starts with the quarterback position. And we don't have a snowball's chance in hell of moving forward if we don't get that straightened out. And what's the best way to get that straightened out? By having the number one overall pick in the draft with a few quarterbacks to choose from. That's their position. I understand it. I'm not sure it's right, but I can't blame them for doing what they did based on the evidence that's been provided to all of us.
Yeah, like I, as much as I love Lamar, and as much as I would have loved to have seen him in this structure from a coaching staff standpoint, okay, to be with Frank Reich as the head coach, Thomas Brown as the offensive coordinator, Josh McCown as the quarterback coach. You know how much I believe in structure surrounding quarterbacks being the number one indicator or forecaster of how well these guys are going to do. He couldn't have got it much better than that. He could not have got it much better than that as a veteran player who then would be exposed to, you know, some teachings and some philosophical beliefs that I think would take his game to the next level. I would have loved to have seen that. But I think David Tepper, the owner down there, is looking at this organization as being one that is in a state where they are going for the hard reset and starting from ground zero. And he does not want to get into a situation where he's going to have his quarterback taking up a substantial part of the salary cap and then trying to build around that quarterback with a roster that is so devoid of talent right now. And then he would have to give up two number ones if he was able to get him signed to a long-term deal and a long-term offer sheet anyway. So he still would be, he wouldn't have the draft capital either. to really go ahead and make his mark, or rather be able to get some real quality players in there to support Lamar. And if he doesn't have that, how happy do you think that would make Lamar? How happy? What do you think that would do to the rest of the overall attitude surrounding the organization if your star quarterback comes down there on a big contract but the football team is not very good? So I think there's a number of different reasons why this team is saying, hey, look, let's trade up to the number one spot. Let's see if we want to then just sit there and go ahead and take our guy and have our quarterback on a rookie contract for 5 years. Or do we want to move back and then, you know, and recoup some assets and still get maybe the quarterback if we like two or three of these guys that we want? Because right now we're in the catbird seat. Now we can kind of do what we want to do. Either pick or trade back and still pick and recoup some assets and build
what
our organization
do,
back
Lou?
Up.
Who should they take?
Oh, for me, look, I'm a C.J. Stroud fan. Mm. That's who I think they should take. C.J. in this offense, a heavy play-action pass type of offense that is built from the running game off of there. Quarterback under center. Lots of five-step drop. Lots of rollouts, boots, waggles, keepers, getting them out on the perimeter. And obviously they need some wide receiver help now. That's for sure. We know that they're going to need that. But C.J. with Frank, with Thomas Brown, who comes from L.A., where he was with Sean McVay, with that heavy 12-personnel play-action-style offense, quarterback movement offense, with Josh McCown, who I think everyone would agree is one of the best. Let's just say he's one of those guys who could really tutor this position, and someone who believes, and is someone who many believe will eventually be an OC/head coach in the NFL. Many people believe that about Josh McCown, regardless of how people wanted to pan him or rather like criticize the Houston Texans for maybe considering to make him a head coach. Josh will be a head coach at some point in time. At some point in time, he will be.
Well,
so I think this is the perfect place for a guy like CJ. Perfect.
Let me say this about Josh McCown. I'm not disagreeing with anything that you say. The thing that people, just to reiterate your point or just to really elaborate on your point.
Yeah.
The reason people were critical of Josh McCown being the head coaching candidate for the Houston Texans job is because you got rid of a head coach after 1 year, and this guy was a volunteer coach on a high school level, having never coached on any other level before. That's all anybody was saying. There was knock against Josh McCown. And by the way, he admitted he shouldn't have been a candidate for the job.
And you know what? And Stephen A., you know what? I'm not saying. I'm not criticizing, you know, anyone for criticizing that process when he was being considered, because I didn't believe he was ready for that position either. What I'm saying, though, is this is a guy who is immensely respected and who has very, very good, has a very good aptitude as far as being able to relate to young quarterbacks. That's why I think they just want to start from ground zero, Molly. They want to start, because they understand where they're at in their program.
But Lewis,
they've done this before. Lewis, remember, 2011, real quick, Stephen A., 2011, they had that number one overall pick. We all know who they took. That would be Cam Newton.
That's right.
Go ahead, Stephen A.
I got a quick question for you. C.J. Stroud is bigger, much bigger than Bryce Young. I saw Bryce Young. His size is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
C.J. Stroud, I mean, is he a thrower of the football? How do you feel about his ability to throw? They know he has the size. They know he has the athleticism.
Yep.
What about flinging that football? Your thoughts.
When you watch his tape at Ohio State, and then I'll quickly move to what he did at the combine. When you watch his tape at Ohio State, he can throw the football outside the numbers, inside the numbers. He can throw it with velocity. He can throw it with touch. He can manipulate the pocket. He has good presence in terms of being here in the pocket, while also at the same time being able to decipher what is happening downfield, pre-snap and post-snap. He's the kind of guy who can throw on the move. He can create enough in the pocket to be able to buy time, keep his eyes down the field, and throw the football off platform with accuracy. There's nothing he can't do. There really isn't. And he can operate under center. He can operate in the gun. He can stay a traditional pocket passer. The one thing that people wanted to criticize him for was he doesn't create enough big plays outside of structure. And see, I heard the great Kurt Warner talk about this all the time. We criticize quarterbacks now for playing in structure, playing in the pocket, as if they need to just get out on the perimeter and make all kinds of crazy stuff happen before we really fall in love with them. Look, that's a great component to have to your game. That's a great add-on to have to your game. But I don't think it's a prerequisite to you playing football at a very high level at the NFL level. I don't think you have to be that creator. Heck, the GOAT of all time, Tom Brady, was a creator outside the pocket. And everybody in Tom Brady's time would take him number one over just about anybody. Yeah, I'll take one of those guys. CJ can do both, and he showed you that against Georgia in the CFP. He showed you, okay, look, if you want to see me move around and run, I'll do it for you. But I don't have necessarily
Harrison
have
doesn't
to live
get injured,
that way.
They win it. Harrison doesn't get injured, they might win it. They might
Absolutely.
Win it all.
And so as far as him throwing, when he went to the combine and you got to see him throw with Anthony Richardson and his group and Bryce was standing there and he didn't throw, from the very first throw, the very first timing speed out that they call it, where he has to take a five-step drop or a three-step drop and throw the speed out on time, in rhythm, with to a guy who he doesn't know. The very first one, Stephen A., hit the guy. The guy, all he had to do was put his hands up and it was sitting right there. And didn't miss a throw the entire workout. And I'm going, okay, that's the mark of someone who's a passer of the football.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's why he's projected to go number one.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Kendrick Perkins is back. SA, are the Suns a legit title threat with a healthy KD?
Hell yeah. Kevin Durant and Devin Booker? Absolutely. Now, don't get me wrong. I know a lot of people are looking at their bench or lack thereof. I think that they've got some pieces on there. Monty Williams just has to know how to utilize it efficiently. But when you tell me that I got four starters, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, and DeAndre Ayton, and they're healthy going into the playoffs. And obviously health is we throw that out the window. You get injured, you're not healthy, that compromises everything. But I'm just saying, all things being equal, these brothers are on the court together, ready to play? Absolutely. And then let's look at the West. We see Denver struggling as of late. We've seen Memphis have some issues, and we pray that Ja Morant is going to be all right. And he'll be back soon, okay? You got Dallas. They've got some defensive liabilities to point to. Kyrie and Luka, your offense is set. But defensively, what do you have? I mean, the Lakers are up in the air right now, even though we've got confidence in them. The Clippers, I watched them beat my Knicks Saturday, sitting courtside, Kendrick Perkins. I mean, they beat my Knicks, for crying out loud. And Kawhi was special. But
it's not
damn
your
it, I'm not sold on the Clippers totally. At the end of the day, I look at Golden State. You just point out Golden State. The West is wide open. And a wide open West with KD and Devin Booker to deal with? You're damn right. The Phoenix Suns are title contenders with KD and Booker healthy in the lineup. Absolutely.
See, you know the problem that I have with you, right, is that you get caught up in these duos all the damn time. And you've been around the game. Matter of fact, you know the game very, very well, right? You have an exceptional mind when it comes down to the game of basketball.
I'm glad I appreciate it.
Covered it in all areas.
You're right.
Okay, when it comes down to winning a championship and being a title contender,
right,
what do you need, Stephen A.? You need depth. So I'm going to ask you this. How much do you really trust DeAndre Ayton? How much do you really trust him? I'm asking, seriously.
I got to admit, I got some trust in him outside of when he go up against Giannis. That's where my concern lies. When he's going up against that thoroughbred, that specific thoroughbred, there's no one in the West that I look at DeAndre Ayton and I'm like this, oh, my God, he's just not going to get it done. He's not going to measure up. I don't feel that way about DeAndre Ayton. I like DeAndre Ayton.
Well, Well, first of all, see, the game is not played through the low post like that no more. The only three guys that you really have to worry about like that is probably Jokic, Embiid, Giannis, and you can even throw in Sabonis. But when it comes down to being a hell of a pick and roll defender, when it comes down to actually protecting the basket, can you go out there and give me 6 or 7 blocks, 21 rebounds, anchoring that defense, showing me some of that tenacity? See, when I look at DeAndre Ayton, he has all the upside in the world, but I think he's a golden retriever. I need him to be a Rottweiler or a Doberman Pinscher or, damn it, a pit bull if the Phoenix Suns is going to make a noise and be a contender. Now, let's look at the rest of their roster. Who else do you trust on there? Do you trust Torrey Craig? T.J. Warren haven't been the same. He played 4 minutes the other night against the Sacramento Kings. Can you tell me anybody else that they have coming in off the bench? I know Terrence Ross, he's a wild card, but he hasn't been in the big moments lately. He's been playing down there in Orlando.
Coach's had some good games. Cameron Payne, I'm not going to sit up there and tell you I trust them, but they're wild cards. I get all of that. But what I'm trying to say to you is this. You have to take into consideration what's going to be asked of them. Bottom line is this. If you give effort and energy, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, then, excuse me, that's more than half the battle. Because with KD and Booker and those offensive weapons that they have, with a DeAndre Ayton give you 18 and 10 on 59% shooting from the field, I can't summarily dismiss them. I think they're going to be potent offensively. And if you give me effort defensively, they can do some things.
Okay, let me ask you this then. Right now, what do you have the Golden State Warriors? And I know we talked about this. What do you have them right now? Are they still a threat for us winning the title?
I think they're still a threat, yes. I think they're still a threat.
Absolutely. Oh, okay. Okay, let me ask you this then. What duo is you taking? Are you taking Steph Curry and Klay Thompson? Or are you taking Devin Booker and Kevin Durant? I'm just asking.
Well, again. I would tell you that right now, I think the Warriors on their home turf can beat anybody. On the road, I don't know who the hell's going to show up. I'm looking at Steph. I'm looking at Klay. I genuinely don't know.
Here you go. You dancing around my point again.
I am not dancing around your point.
Yeah,
you're the one asking questions.
Oh, yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. I'm just Molly, that's what he's doing. I just asked who are you taking out of the two.
Just like Fred Astaire, you know what I
yes,
mean?
I don't know what's up with you this morning.
He's like coming up.
That's what I'm saying.
So, like, I don't know. So my point is this.
Right. Just say, for example, because it might just happen, if the Golden State Warriors and Phoenix match up, who are you picking?
Well, right now, Kendrick Perkins, I would tell you the Warriors because I got questions about Phoenix's health. Right now, I would tell you that.
Okay, let me ask you this. What are your concerns about the Golden State Warriors?
I would go with the Warriors.
So you do know, even if KD is healthy, that we could possibly see that series first round.
Yes, possibly.
So you just answered my question. So they're not a legitimate threat.
But what if they don't face one another? What if they don't want to? Let me reverse it. Let me ask you a question. Is the West not wide open? Because you started off the season. Who did you pick, yes. Kendrick Perkins? Who did you pick at the start of the season?
I picked the Clippers. I picked the Clippers.
And they got one of the deepest rosters in the NBA.
With that? They just selfish.
My bad. I thought you picked Memphis.
I'm not.
I thought you picked Memphis. My bad.
No, I picked the Clippers. And listen, the Clippers still have the personnel. I just never seen a group of vets that play so selfish. But my point to you is this, Stephen A., is that when we go and we look at others outside of Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, DeAndre Ayton, an aging CP3, is nobody on that roster that you trust, and you know damn well I'm telling
you. I do trust KD. Don't say that. I'm the guy that says, when healthy, I think he's the best on the planet.
You know what, Puck? I'm not saying KD. I'm saying outside of them. Between his firstborn and his second. That's what's happening. He's got love for the Warriors. He's got love for the KD. He just forgot the rules of first take. It's one person has one and one, then they debate, and I say, party's over.
Couple of things. I kind of played a role in making the rules for first take. That's number one. Number two. Let me be very, very, very clear. Kendrick Perkins, you know this as well as I do. Week to week, it's been so damn crazy.
Yeah.
We've had to come on here and modify our position on numerous teams.
Right. Stephen A.
That's true.
I have one question for you before we go to break, and I say goodbye to Kendrick. This is a serious question. What's the title of your book again?
Straight Shooter.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I just want you to make
I'm
sure you're. I just want to make sure you're. You're moving up to that.
Yeah,
title. I
mean,
all those people that
bought
the book.
Straight Shooter is about somebody that's being honest and forthcoming about what their position is. That's what they're doing. Okay. I ain't lying.
Okay.
I mean, it's not like I'm up in the air, but I'm lying about it. I'm up in the air.
You taught me.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Now we up and down.
Hey, Perk.
I know.
This was fun. I needed a good laugh. I'm struggling this morning.
I admit it. I'm struggling this morning.
Right.
See?
That's straight shooting.
I'm struggling this morning, damn it.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Stephen A., Aaron Rodgers could very likely be playing in the same division as Josh Allen and Tua. So which of those three would have the most at stake this upcoming season?
Well, to me, it's going to be Tua, because I think Tua's career is in jeopardy. And I don't say that with any pleasantries. I'm not being aloof or dismissive or remotely disrespectful. I pray that he's going to be okay. Josh Allen's going to be in this league for years to come. Aaron Rodgers is a Super Bowl champion, destined for the Hall of Fame. But obviously, you know what, he comes to the AFC. You got Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson in the division. Just the top five names that come to your mind. Okay, he doesn't win. Obviously, that's not going to be great, but it's also not going to be the end of the world. The reality is that with Tua Tagovailoa, he's had not one, not two, three different concussions this year that we know of. He had a concussion in that home game against Buffalo. I don't care what anybody says, all right, when he got up and fell back down. Lewis Riddick, you know this. Mm-hmm. But yet somehow, some way, when we look about that concussion protocols, that stuff usually takes a minimum of 5 to 6 days. 4 days later, this man was on the football field. 4 days. They had a Thursday night game. That is the game where he got hit, slammed to the turf, and literally looked like rigor mortis had kicked in with his body, the way he was on the turf. His fingers were contorted and older, and he had to be carted off the field, all right, in an ambulance.
you know, with his parents, his family members in attendance and all of this. It was very scary, okay? And then he comes back a few weeks later, goes through a game, and after he plays the game, the following day, he was placed in concussion protocol because there were residual effects. It's three concussions that we know of in the same season. Ask Troy Aikman and others about that and the significance of that. I think that Tua Tagovailoa's career is in jeopardy, and that's why I put him above in terms of the most at stake with Josh Allen and Rodgers. I'm just praying he stays healthy. That's the issue with them. With Allen and Rodgers, it's a matter of their quality of play. Can it equate to a Super Bowl? With Tua, his career is on the line. That's why that's the name I pick, Lewis.
Yeah. Look, and I see your point, and I agree with the points that you made. The only thing I'm going to say for the sake of this discussion is, look, Tua can't control what happens to him from a concussion standpoint, because if he hits the ground, he can't brace for it. He can't do anything but allow nature to take its course if he hits the ground and sustains another concussion or gets caught in a position where he takes a shot to the head. So for him, I'm saying, like I look at this question a little bit differently as far as, like, who has the most at stake. I'm going to speak to, you know, in terms of what they can control, who has the most at stake.
Okay.
And I think no question it's Aaron Rodgers. No question, for two reasons. One, personally, despite the fact that he has won four MVPs, and many people feel as though he may be, if not the most talented thrower of the football in the history of the game, a top three most talented thrower in the history of the game. The fact of the matter is this, when we start talking about how you are remembered in this game, yes, you're remembered for your individual performances, but you're remembered for how you impact others in terms of your teammates and the franchises in which you played for. And right now, you have the one franchise that drafted him that he has played at for almost, you know, two decades, basically saying, please just go. Just go. We want to turn the page. And that's not how you want to be remembered. Maybe he doesn't care about being remembered that way, but that's not how you want to be remembered in my book. So in terms of what does he have at stake this year, if he's in this division and with this football team, like I said earlier, this is about what the expectation is for Aaron Rodgers if he is to go and play for the New York Jets. And he has a ton at stake because 9-8 is not getting it. You will be talked about, and maybe, again, he doesn't care about that, but I would assume he has some kind of pride when he sits and turns on the television and hears people debating his greatness and what he has meant to the game. So what I'm saying is this. For him to go to this football team this year, I think he has to have a commitment to not only himself and his own craft, but towards lifting others in a way that maybe he has not shown ever in his career. He has an opportunity to maybe make the biggest impact on one of the biggest market franchises in the history of the game, is what I'm saying. Look, he's in New York. He would be in New York, a football team that has not experienced success in a long, long time in any significant way, with a lot of young, impressionable, up-and-coming superstars in the game, in a division and in a conference that right now is loaded with guys who are going to be Hall of Famers just like him when their time comes. For him to move from Green Bay to New York, make the commitment, and take this team to unprecedented success levels, I think would do something that maybe all the years in Green Bay winning all those MVPs in one Super Bowl has never done. In one year, he could absolutely blow the top off of his career.
I got it. Let me ask you this question, Lewis. So with what you just said about Green Bay just basically begging him to leave, my question to you would be this.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think either they'll ask for of the New York Jets in order to acquire Aaron Rodgers, or what it would require for the New York Jets to get him away from Green Bay, considering what you just said about how they're basically asking him to walk out the door?
You know what? I, to be perfectly honest with you, Stephen A., I don't really know. I don't really know what kind of, in terms of compensation, in terms of draft picks. I'm not quite sure. I don't think, I will say this. I would be sure. I don't think it would be something to where it would hold up the deal. That's for sure. I think that Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst would be very, very, let's just say, easy to work with in order to facilitate this, to get this done. So he can go ahead and move on. I don't think that will be a stumbling block in any way, shape, or form. This is basically up to Aaron saying, look, I'm ready to go. I want to go. I want to embrace this new opportunity. And I am just such a – look, I know you're a historian of sports, and you understand impact, that it's bigger than just what you've accomplished yourself. Absolutely. It's how you lift others and take, like, organizations, like, to whole new levels. Fan bases revere you because of what you've done for them. Like, they feel part of you and, like, you care about them. I don't – what he could do in this place – what he has at stake for him as far as his legacy and what he could do for this franchise in this market in this year, that's something that I don't know if you can put a number on. If you can really kind of – I don't know if you can really objectively quantify how important that could be and how big that could be for him.
I got you.
All right.
I got you.
Lou, it's time to say goodbye, but we will talk to you soon. Good stuff, as always.
I appreciate y'all.
We got more picks to make.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
As First Take continues to honor Women's History Month, we recognize Rachel Robinson, the widow of Jackie Robinson. The year after his death, that was 1972, she established the foundation that bears his name, perpetuates his legacy, and provides four-year college scholarships to talented students. Here's a look at the remarkable life of Rachel Robinson, who turned 100 last July.
Lastly, ladies and gentlemen, my wife, who has been such a wonderful inspiration to me and the person who has guided and advised me throughout our entire marriage. I couldn't have been here today without her help.
I think they were a complete team. They knew what they were going to be up against.
There was no way to prepare for it. We had to live that experience moment by moment. He got death threats. He got all kinds of crank letters, warning letters.
And she also was sitting and saying that he had people talk about Jackie. She never wavered. She was his anchor, his rock of the world.
We were always looking forward, we were always looking ahead, and I think that became a part of our resilience. There was never a question of should we proceed, always how shall we proceed.
I know my father greatly valued the love and support, and she was there at every moment providing strength in that role and advice and wisdom and comfort.
I think the wonderful thing is they're a real partnership. They're a real team together. And I know without Rachel, the legacy of Jackie Robinson would never be this strong, ever.
Please give a warm welcome to Rachel Robinson, who has carried on Jackie's dreams and efforts through the Jackie Robinson Foundation.
She stepped into those footsteps, saw that young people were the strength of the future. And then she too was strengthened and made joyful by the thousands of young people that the Jackie Robinson Foundation has impacted.
She is the epitome of class. And the great work that the foundation has done over the years, I just can't say enough about it.
I don't know how you don't consider her like one of like the most powerful people in the last 100 years. I don't see how you cannot include her in the narrative of somebody that can really change the world just with her stories.
I think that I was given a mission along with him at a very early age. I was given a reason for living, many tasks to perform, many challenges that broadened and strengthened me. And so when I look back, I think of myself as a very fortunate person.
This anniversary has given us an opportunity as a nation to celebrate together the triumphs of the past and the social progress that has occurred. It has also given us an opportunity to reassess the challenges of the present. Thank you.
He would be proud, but he knew her capacity, knew her heart, knew her commitment, and I think he would have known and congratulated her on fully exercising her potential and the potential of our family. And she continues to this day to expand what he himself was part of starting.
What a powerful and beautiful couple. Derek Jeter sang it perfectly. She epitomizes class. Tonight's annual Jackie Robinson Foundation dinner celebrates its 50th anniversary year and honors its guiding light, Rachel Robinson. Stephen A., your reaction to
It's very, very few things in my life that nearly bring me to tears. But every time I see her, every time I hear her speak, it just resonates with me that much. She is the embodiment of class. She is class personified. But perseverance and tenacity comes to play along with strength. I would remind everybody they met Jackie Robinson and Rachel Robinson, if I remember correctly, on the campus of UCLA in 1941. They were married. He passed away in 1972. It is 50 years later, and she never, ever, ever stopped doing what they together worked in terms of putting forth an unwavering and a tireless effort to address racial inequality in this country. She is just sensational in so many ways. It's just hard for me to put into words what she means to me, what she means to black folks, what she means to America. And beyond. She is just unreal in so many beautiful ways.
Absolutely. She said she knew her mission and she carried it out and continues to.